we recorded the podcast for 2 hours.
Oh my days.
And then we're going home. And then I was like, yo, Kwesi, I forgot to press record. No, really.
I'll just faint.
Wow. Wait, you actually didn't press record?
No, it's Amare. You know Amare?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So there was a, one of my friends was supposed to interview her.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go. So they were like, can you go and interview her? So I went with my iPhone. And I was just going to just record it. Yeah. Recorded her for 2 hours. We have the best, most lovely conversation. We laughed and everything. Then like 5 minutes to end it. Right? I looked at my phone and I was like,
I'll just freeze.
I didn't record this thing.
Hey.
No. What did you tell the guest?
So we finished it. I recorded only 5 minutes, by the way. Finished it. We were in the car. I was like, Kwesi, I didn't record this thing. And then we are trying to play back what, because we're supposed to like type an article, basically.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we're trying to remember everything she said.
She said, okay.
No, I just made things up at
the end. It does come naturally. Yeah. That's the best one.
Yeah, the natural one is the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why, like, most of the time when I'm trying to record the pod, I don't let people know that I'm recording, because, like, yeah. It's like when you say I'm recording now, like, people get tensed up.
Yeah.
And people change their way they speak
and all that. Yeah. In it.
Yeah.
Somebody's phone. Oh, it's mine.
Yeah, we need to put. But we'll be back in some 40 minutes. I think we need to put our phone on flight.
Yeah, actually.
Okay, so have we started? Oh, we already started.
We pretty much started, anyways.
Okay, that's fun. hope Amari doesn't see it.
Nah, anyways, it's another episode again. And I think today, actually, this one is very intentional because I wanted to talk about a PhD.
Yeah.
Right? So, guys, I actually have 3 PhD students. Not one, not two, but 3. Exactly. Like, you see, I got pool, yeah? Like, yeah. A mad pool. You get me?
Yeah.
But they're all in different fields, but I'm going to let them to introduce themselves. So I'm going to start with you.
Okay. So I'm Gerald. Hey. So I'm Gerald. I'm a second year student in PhD in digital marketing and analytics. Just a very long name to say I know a bit about hyping people on the internet. That's what I do for a living.
Hype man with a PhD.
Yeah,
I'm
a hype man with a PhD, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and my PhD is on the effects of storytelling on consumer behavior. So,
storytelling.
Yeah. He told us a lot about it, like, literally. Yeah. I feel like I'm getting angry at so many things.
It's like we've been tricked.
Exactly.
Nah. Tricked all our lives.
We'll get more into details.
Yes.
Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. As you know, this is your girl, Lois.
Lois.
I'm trying to act like Alpha Degree, but it's
No.
That girl called Lois.
That girl.
That girl called. That's a handle
it's
on social.
Why that are you girl. So smart? You've been hearing that a lot. So yeah, I'm Lois. I'm doing a PhD in materials engineering. That's what you call it. Specifically looking at plasma functionalized two-dimensional materials for wastewater treatment at the Open University.
Lots of big words there.
Yeah. Like it's passed over my head.
Yeah. but just to say this, me and Lois had a conversation. Like, I was very fascinated about it, you know. It's like, it's a very
in depth,
very good field, to be honest. She's saving the environment.
Yeah. Okay, now you've asked it just to me, so I'm coming.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, final guest.
Hi, everyone. My name is Isra Mariam, and I'm a second year PhD student. I'm doing PhD soon, just like Lois, in material science, and particularly creating water repellent and anti-icing coatings for solar panels.
Oh,
okay. Fancy!
Is it a fancy way to say, like, in cold weathers, like protecting solar panels?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, that one I understood.
I tried to make it as simple as possible so everyone should understand what I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fair enough. Quite interesting. I feel like I need to do more in my life, actually. Wait, Is it fair to assume all of you have done a master's as well?
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to do a master's before you do a PhD.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
Some people's master's work meet a level 7. Undergrad work, which is a level 6, meets a level 7 standard. So they jump
straight on to
a PhD. But I went through the long process.
Yeah, both of us. I actually did an MPhil, and MPhil is different. And an MPhil is like 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Exactly. MSc is 1 year, stuff like that. MTech.
It's actually 1 year just in UK.
In UK as well. Yeah. You did in...
All other places in the world, it's 2 years.
2 years.
But I did in UK. So.
Okay, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Oh, the first time UK have actually done something that's positive. But,
no, come for you.
It's cool. We're still here.
But see, it's actually things like these that make us talk about our research and tell it to the public, you know, spread the message.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we're just doing it and nobody
knows. Exactly.
Because I feel like for me, like even in the past, I'm like, yeah, you're doing PhD. Okay, that's you. You decide. This is your choice.
It's your choice, yeah.
I don't really care, but... Before we go any depth, I just want to know from each of you, like, what actually pushed you guys to do a PhD? Why didn't you just say, like, I've done a master's, I'm good? Like, why did you decide to do a PhD?
For me, I don't know whether to give the truthful version give the other version.
You give clean version.
I should give both versions. Okay, so, I mean, I think there's so many... I'll say there's two main categories. First of all, my dad is an academic. So, like, he's got 3 PhDs. So,
wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
3 PhDs?
It's unnecessary, but it's one of those type of things.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, he kind of was like, after my master's program, he was like, yeah, you can look into a PhD and can do it. And ever since I got into a master's program, I was only going to do a master's program in something I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So my master's program was in digital marketing and I loved it. I'd go to class and just be excited. 3 hours pass by and I won't notice it. So wow. It's like, if I'm going to do a PhD, I'm going to do something I love. And then, yeah, so I decided to...
So you just decided to get into a PhD?
To do a PhD. He recommended it and then I was like, I thought about the opportunities that it's going to come with because, in my household, my dad is a representation of the opportunities that come with. So I was like, okay, I can see the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Lucy?
Me is poverty.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. God punish poverty.
Honestly.
Because I don't have anyone like in my family. I think I'm the first generation PhD. So what actually motivated me... I needed to come out of poverty. I can't be there for a long time. And I think that with the opportunities that it posed, I really loved it. But that aside, that was a motivational factor. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, I'm always honest about this, that when I finished an undergrad in Ghana, I told myself that if there's any company that can pay me £1,200, that's an equivalent of how much you're paid on a fully funded master's, okay?
Okay. Yeah. A fully funded master's, okay.
A fully funded master's, you're paid £1,200. So if I'm going to get a master's and be paid for it and come, like, use some of the money to watch family, then I might as well go for it. Because the company in Ghana is going to pay me, like, almost £10, which is, like, 700 Ghana. She gets NAPCO payments, which wasn't what I wanted to do. Okay. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to go for the master's and still get the payment. And I think that during that time, I started doing what I love to do as well. Like, I'm somebody who is passionate about helping the community, you know that. Yeah. For my projects. So I was like, okay, this project put me in the right spot to be able to, you know, directly impact community. The landmark, hallmark of it, if my project is not impacting community, I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's great.
Giving back to our people.
Yeah. Wait, you said what? NAPCO? What's
NAPCO.
That?
So NAPCO is National Building Corporation, institute set up in Ghana to be able to take us from university student that graduate don't get placements.
Oh, yeah.
So
they
place you, it's not like national service. It's like you finish your national service and they place you in a company.
Yeah.
But they give you the equivalent of a national service money plus 200 CDs. It's like 700 CDs or something payment. So it's like a standard for payment for people who are working in Ghana now.
Yeah, that's true.
If you come out from the university.
Because National Service is 559.04.
Exactly. And
I know NAPCO, the exact amount.
Exact amount. Wow. He even took 559. I took 359.
Oh, so you took the year before exactly. They introduced 559. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it's set a standard in Ghana. So 700 cities, even if you get a job, okay, yeah, it's like, okay,
you have to tell her the equivalence because she doesn't know how low it is.
That's like £10.
Yeah.
Wow. For a month. That's what you're taking home.
Yeah. So people have set that standard for people. So even if you get a new job, and you're trying to beat the price, give me £100. They're like, your mates are taking £10. Yeah. So why should I pay you that? Mm-hmm. You know, so you get to work at that. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah. So what was your motivation? I think that pushed you to do your PhD.
What about you?
But for Ezra, what was it?
I think for me, you know, I've noticed that most PhD students that I meet, a lot of the motivation comes from a lot of them just want to give back to the community. And I won't say that I always knew what I wanted to do, that I always had interest in science or anything like that. No, I never knew. I think last years of my bachelor's, I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what to do in bachelor's, to be honest.
But I did bachelor's in nanotechnology.
Oh, is it?
But still, I didn't know, like, what I want to do further. But there's one thing that I knew is that I wanted to help the community.
Okay.
But, like, during my bachelor's last year, I started doing my dissertation, all the lab work, experiments. I was like, oh, I'm starting to develop. I'm liking it, you know. Liking these experiments. And so I just merged the two. Like, how can I use science to give back to the community?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And you're like,
let's do a PhD.
But I've always been, like, hard work. You know, I was never that person who will just, like, score really high in school or something. I was always the hardworking one.
Yeah.
My mom is a professor as well, right?
Yeah.
But you see, the expectations are higher with those ones, you know. That's the problem. When your professor's kid,
exactly.
Like, even for you, like, that's got 3 PhDs now. So, like, probably now I'm even looking at you like, yeah, I'm not doing enough.
No. I was saying, the truth of the matter is that I wasn't even going to do a master's. That's the thing. Like, I didn't want. So, I've been very driven in terms of business. Like, I wanted to do business. I wanted to start companies and start corporations. But I live in Ghana. It wasn't going to work that way, to be honest. Like, you work and you have to fund all the capital, and the country is volatile. So, like, the inflation just goes up, and you don't know what you are doing with your capital and your profits mixed together. It's a long thing. So, but basically, I didn't want to do even a master's. I just wanted to finish university, start a company, and grow in a company. But it didn't work out that way. So my dad was like, you should come to the UK, try a master's. I didn't know it was going to trick me. You know, it's like, put your leg in.
It's like, now you're in. It's like, why don't you go all the way?
Exactly. I mean, you're here. You might as well finish.
Yeah, exactly. that's actually interesting to hear your reasons to get in. But, like, after getting in, like, are you enjoying it? Like, I want to know, like, because we are outside. Like, I'm like, if you're doing a PhD, you're smart enough, so it's easy peasy for you. Is that a wrong perception to have from me? Like, saying, if you're smart enough to, because I know it's not easy to get into a PhD.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you've made it that far, like, no stress, no sweat. Is it wrong assumption for me?
I think it's a very wrong assumption. Yeah. Does anybody have an opposition?
No.
That's so wrong. Like, I had people tell me, because I write a lot. Like, I like to write poetry and stuff like that. They're like, just write 100,000 words. It's just like writing. I'm like, no.
It doesn't work that way.
I'm saying this because even last week, I met with my lecturers for supervision meeting. And now I'm looking at my project and like, wait, have I just wasted like 2 years?
Exactly. You know, I was explaining my this PhD feeling to someone. And I realized, I said this, and I think that, I don't know if you'll agree or no, but so, you know, that one day before an exam when you're in school, when you're so stressed,
yeah,
you're so stressed, you just have to a lot to do, and you're just doing it. And the next day you give the exam and it's fine. Yeah. But with PhD, it's like that day, every day.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you're like, oh, I didn't do anything. But yeah, I did exactly. so much. And yeah. you always feel like you did nothing.
Listen, we are reading, they are probably doing similar. We are reading, right? We are reading everything, we are cataloging everything we are reading because we know we can't remember all the articles. So we're reading, we're cataloging, we're writing notes, we're cataloging those notes. You are doing some field work, you're cataloging all that. Then a professor asks you one simple question.
And then
you have no idea where the last 2 months have gone.
Hey,
it's like,
that's
my
exactly.
professor asked me, so how are you going to measure it? And I was like, I really didn't think about this.
That's actually exactly what happened to me in the last meeting. And you know, it's been like 1 year I came. First year is mostly just literature review. And I was just doing literature review. I knew my material. And I knew, like, these are the people who work on my material, right? And I know them. Lois knows them. We work on the same material. And last meeting, my supervisor asked me, do you know the people who work on your material? And I'm like, no name is coming to my mind. For 1 year,
I've been working with these people.
Exactly. I'm like, nothing is coming. I'm just like, yeah, I know.
And I know. And I knew
like,
the
don't
name.
Don't ask me their names.
I knew the name. I was like, if this girl doesn't answer, I'll beat her. Don't disgrace me. Yeah, I think that it needs movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to step into the light.
And so just with David also doing, I think that PhD is two things. PhD is knowing less and less of the more you read, you know less and less.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have a plaque. I think I put that on LinkedIn, I think last week. Yeah. It's like my friend gave me a plaque and when I was starting my PhD, and it's the best gift I ever got, because it says PhD is an academic who knows more and more about the subject to the point they know less and less about it.
Yeah. Mm. It becomes like
you read so much information, like some of them is just pointless. Like my it's guy. Like, okay, I need to start from scratch again. And
honestly, to the extent that even a bachelor's makes sense in your head. Like if a bachelor's person is speaking, you're like, why are you very smart?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The people who don't know about your topic will sound smart to you.
Yeah.
Like, what have I been doing all this time?
PhD is an acceptance of ignorance to a very large extent. You accept
humility.
You don't know.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to do it. You're going to build up on what somebody has done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to you're contributing a little grain of sand in a big sea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what you are going to be doing.
And I think the question too is like, is it like you should be smart to do it? May. See, we've seen smart people drop out.
Yeah.
Because they were literally.
Wait, people have been dropping out of the.
Oh yeah, people don't finish.
There was this girl. She's huge on Instagram. I shared it with Ezra.
Oh my god.
She's huge. She does PhD. She's a PhD with a pink lab coat.
I used to follow the girl with the pink lab coat.
She's amazing. Her PhD is amazing. Everything she does. Just today, she released the notes that she's dropping out.
Yeah.
After how many years?
After 2 years, almost 3 years.
Yeah. No, PhD is a long race. It's a marathon. It's not a race.
It's not a race. It's a marathon. You take it little by little.
It's not even smart. You know, it takes patience.
Yeah.
It's struggle. It's stress. It's getting through that.
No, you can like I tell some people, if I don't particularly cry, but if I could, sometimes I feel like I could just sit down and cry, like. Because
the way Lois said it,
I cry every day.
because you could take there's a point where it's like, what is the point of all this? Like, exactly. I am tired.
Yeah.
Mentally, I'm tired. And things are, life happens within a PhD too as well, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
People have children, people marry, life happens within a PhD.
Okay.
So you are taking so much mental stress, and any small emotional stress just sparks fire in you.
I was just saying this. I don't know. I don't think I have the right words to put together for the feeling that comes with. Because, see, the thing is, life is happening so quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
around you, you cannot even catch. You cannot even catch the life that is moving. People are moving so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because you are consistently doing one thing all the time, trying to keep up at it, the life is moving back.
It's like the world has reached.
And the world is just going so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, you realize that even your friends, your connection with the friends you were with, the connection with your family, the connection with your the people you knew, they've moved on.
Yeah. They've learned to live without you.
Without you. You know? It's sad.
You lost
it's kind of sad. Yeah.
Because it's that bad.
It's a dedication. You put yourself in it because whatever you're going to look at, that it's such a broad area. You're looking into a very tiny area and you have to make justifications on that area. So it means that everything is scrutinized. Like even the way you scrutinize things are scrutinized.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way you think about information, it should be scrutinized.
Yeah.
Or else then it can lead the information astray.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. This is not filled with a lot of confidence.
Honestly, you don't need to be smart to do it. That thing, we've solved that issue a long time.
Yeah.
You just need the zeal, the dedication to one particular thing for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Toxic relationship. Like,
yeah.
Can you be in a toxic relationship for long? It's a test. This is a
and
toxic.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. Struggle.
Every day.
It's an everyday struggle.
There's something I tell myself. Like, sometimes I'd wear my backpack because I told them I live like my uni. You've seen my uni and where I live. I live across the street from my library. Mm-hmm. So I'm always walking to the library. And sometimes it was like, I think it was like 23rd of December and nobody's in the library. And I'm packing my bags and I go downstairs and every place is empty. Yeah. I'm like, nobody will do it. So you do it.
Mm.
You go and do what you have to do because you pay the fees. You've taken the time. You've put it on your LinkedIn, you know, PhD candidate. Yeah, you're finishing this. Whether you like it or yes. And you must be humble. That's what a PhD is. Yeah. You must be humble in your ignorance. Like, I don't know. I'm seeking
I'm
for knowledge.
To learn,
And a lot of time you're just alone. So you have to self-motivate yourself when you're not feeling so
that's
motivated.
That's very hard because I don't think I'll be able to self. Because especially if you're doing it by yourself.
Exactly.
Am I right to assume like the topic you picked to do for PhD is just not, it's not a group thing. It's just you have chosen.
Yeah. It's a unique thing.
So, yeah.
And the topic is always changing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, what do you mean it's always changing?
Oh, so when you, you see, they relate like, so well.
Yeah. You know, I've understood that no one else understands what you go through in a PhD except a PhD student.
Exactly.
No one can understand.
Nobody can understand.
I used to share with my mother, at least my mother, everything. Now, if I try to call her, I have to either call her every day, tell her each and everything that I'm going through. Otherwise, she will not understand.
Yeah, even that, I don't even think she probably understand. You don't get it till you are in it.
Till you're in it.
It's one of those type of things. Do you know what? It's like you are looking into a broad area of study. Mm-hmm. And the more you peer into it, the more you realize how much you don't know. And how much things are different. Let me just give an example so that those who are listening can like, for example, if you want to look into why black Americans don't give blood, are skeptical of giving blood. That's your PhD topic. You went in there.
Yeah.
And the professor was like, yeah, welcome to the club. Yeah, come and join. But then he didn't tell you like what parameters you have to put around that study. Because you can't look at all black Americans. All black Americans don't fit the same income criteria.
Yeah.
Mm. They also don't fit the same class. Yeah. They also, so, and what is the definition of a black American?
Exactly.
Do you get me?
There's so many factors influencing.
Is it first generation black American? Or you're looking at like sixth generation black American because that can affect it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to look at all black Americans in the United States. It's impossible. So you're going to pick one particular state. Let's say you're picking Texas. So you see.
So you start to narrow it down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even then, at the end of the PhD, somebody will say that, no, but you didn't look at this factor.
Yeah, exactly.
It can affect it.
Yeah. Because you probably were so focused on like a scientific and a logical factor and you didn't realize that it's a social dynamic because like maybe there's a maybe there's a church factor in it.
Yeah, like religion will play a role.
Exactly. Religion plays a role. Yeah. Because Jehovah's Witnesses
don't take blood.
Don't take blood. So if you have Jehovah's Witness and he's black, I mean, that is influencing your data and you didn't consider that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's a humility when you enter into this.
Yeah.
But then can I ask though, then in terms of you picking the topic, like how long do you have to actually spend? Because you're spending 5 years doing your PhD. Like, is it like, okay, year one, pick the topic you want and then that's it? Or is like,
okay.
How do you I guess finally everybody decide should that?
Speak yeah. Actually, it's 3 years in the UK.
Yes, 3 years.
5 years in the US. 5 years in the US because they do coursework and not necessarily that. Sometimes some people, like we said, they leave undergraduate to the PhD, so they don't have like a research experience. So during that time, they pick specific courses that will help in their project. So for the UK, it's 3 years.
Yeah.
So you have to finish your PhD in 3 years. You have to produce a document, probably a 200 maximum pages of all your work that you've done in 3 years.
Yeah, 100,000 words.
100,000 words as well, or more, sometimes even more, for includes appendix and all that. Now, for that, you in the first year, necessarily in the UK standard, you do a literature review. So literature review is having to look in the topic, trying to gather documents or, I mean, articles of things that have, because you are not the only first study. People have done it. So what have people done? So that you don't repeat what they've done. And what new thing are you bringing on board? So you spend that approximately 1 year trying to get all the, and sometimes you need models. So you have to also learn how the models work. For us in sciences, we need experiments. We use some equipment, and I think we use almost top-notch, like 8 equipments on top of my head. You need to know how it operates. So during that first year, it's like you're playing. Libby Labba.
You're getting trained on different equipment.
But you're not really playing.
You're not really playing because that is the fundamental of your study.
Exactly.
If you miss that. The whole 2 years, you're joking.
Yeah. You're wasting your time.
It's a core. It's some people think it's a joke, but that particular point is where you can determine all your research questions and what you want to answer. Now, apart from that, now you have the 2 years to be able to meet up all these things that you said you've done. Let me tell you, you can never finish.
Yeah, you can't.
Because
finish.
The more and more you do, the more and more things start coming, like all these parameters we've been mentioning. And you cannot tackle it. You are not Superman or...
Yeah, you have to stop yourself.
You have to stop yourself at some point. And I'm speaking from being at the third year point where I'm writing up. And see, the phase, maybe they'll also get there. So let me say that. Point you start writing, you realize that you've not done anything.
When you're wrapping up and you're writing the document,
there's no wrap up.
You will cry.
Yeah.
See, I have 3 experimental chapters and 2 of them look the same. 1 of them is different.
Yeah.
It's true.
How do I link? And he has to tell a story.
Yeah, he has to tell.
So how does the 2 link to the 1? And I'm sitting there, but I did it too.
Yeah. she was present while she was doing it. She was fully focused. See, let's
I'm literally crying. Like, I'm literally dead. I'm just cracking. She knows she can relate.
Yeah.
And now we are all trying to find how we can link the 2 to the 1.
Yeah.
And all this happened due to changing scenes of life. COVID happened. You went back. You couldn't do anything. You picked up another topic. My topic changed. Yeah. So that topic that changed, I started working on that. Now it changed back again to the old one. So now the one that it changed to, which is the new one, is a hanging one that doesn't relate to the old one.
You look a little bit confused. The thing is that, like, sometimes maybe the easiest way is that their studies are all interrelated. Most studies are interrelated. So it's like if you're looking into marketing, right? If you're not careful, you might veer off and start looking into psychology. But it's not the same. You're not a psychology student. So if you're not careful, you'd miss it and then you would only focus on psychology. Mm. And at the end of the day, that's not what you're going to be graded on. So it can, and even within the study, it can switch, because sometimes you are looking at, like for me, I'm looking at consumers, but before you know it, then you start looking at managerial. And it's like, no. You're not looking at managerial. You're looking at consumers. And it can't, because sometimes a consumer...
It crosses over sometimes.
It crosses over.
Yeah, it's very difficult to keep that focus.
Yeah, that focus. Yeah. So it keeps switching, because sometimes again, with the defining parameters, you might define something, but in defining it and making it small, you have added something to it. And so that is why the way you think is even criticized in a PhD.
Yeah.
Because the way you think is also influencing how you look, interpret, and collect data.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Because then basically from what the two of you are saying is that like, you decide on one path, path A, and then you're like, oh, let's have a look at path B for a minute and see how it works. And you're like, okay, yeah, path B wasn't it. And then somehow you end up back by like, okay, now you have these two items. Like now you have to like, because you spend time doing them.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it counts towards your PhD.
Yeah, it counts. There is no bad data.
There's no bad data. There's no everything bad even informs. Literature you read.
So even though we're like, it wasn't really what I wanted, I still have to put it together. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Tell the story.
Yeah. But that's difficult because imagine if the other data you're looking at is not even closely related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still have to.
Yeah, you still have to find a way because.
Link it. Like you say, it's interrelated. So there's a thin line.
Yeah, there's a thin line.
That's like sometimes there are supervisors. They can see the thin line and just merge the two for you. But sometimes they don't want to do it for you because it's your PhD.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, it's not their PhD. Yeah. They are just guiding you.
They
leave you to it. Then when you've cried, come back and it's like, you know, there's this and this. And it's like, so why didn't you tell me all this?
Nah, they want you to figure it out on yourself. Okay, yeah. So there's that independent element of like, okay, you're doing this, so you have to figure out.
The entire PhD is independent.
How about you though?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm in my second year, right? I'm struggling right now to keep that focus just like, but you know, I think for me, I'm like really grateful because we have this team. Right, we have this research team. I have Lois, I have postdocs who guide me all the time. I can go to them because supervisors not always have time, right?
Okay. How did we even have them?
although we do have necessary.
Okay.
But you know, you can't also go to them for every little thing. But you need sometimes you need motivation.
Yeah.
So all those things are there to guide us. And so she's always like, oh, you know, you're losing focus. Focus on this one. I'm like, but look at this. I'm getting results.
Exactly.
This one looks pretty.
And I'm like, no.
And it's funny because I've been there. And I said, May, don't go there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just stick to this.
She's there to tell me, no, you're diverting. Don't do
if
that.
If you've done your PhD, like your supervisors did their PhD like 10, 15 years ago, right? Sometimes they cannot relate to your immediate problem because they've forgotten the pain they went through.
Mm.
But like, I just, like in my school, we do something called a PP1 and a PP2. So we do like after 9 months of your first year of your PhD, you have to defend whatever you've done. Mm. And then the next 18 months, you defend again. So I'm about to defend the second time. And the people who are starting first, when they bring me their topic, like sometimes I meet with them, when they bring me their topic, the topic looks so big. Like a girl brought me her topic and I told her, like, you can do 10 PhDs from that topic. That topic is so huge. And then when she goes for supervisory meeting, she's like, oh, I have to throw all this data away. I said, no, keep everything. You know what I mean? And
Wait, why are you telling her to keep?
Yeah, no, because... Because you will need it. You're not like the thing that you are looking at, because sometimes it's interrelated and sometimes you feel like, somebody criticized your work.
Yeah.
So you feel like I have to throw it away.
Yeah. And start from the beginning.
And not look at it again. And I'm like, no, don't ever do that. You'll regret it. Because when you come to writing, even for the first defense, you'll be looking for that data and you can't find it.
Oh, because you need to say, okay, I did X, Y, and Z. I didn't actually work out. But this is what I learned from it, that's why I'm changing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You need to do a PhD, mate.
Please, forget.
No. See, of all the hard things a PhD is, it opens your mind to a great extent. You realize there's a power with PhD. I'm not trying to hype it. I know my job is a hype man, but there's a power with PhD. Yeah, you start to understand even the way when people are talking to you, kind of understand their like methodology of thinking, mm-hmm. like the way they process information.
Yeah.
Because we all have blocks in our mind of how we filter information.
Yeah.
And it comes through our conversations all the time. Mm-hmm. And you have to be you have to look at yourself and criticize yourself so much, you start to see it in other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost at par.
You know, I think one thing that I learned from a peer, or I think I've developed it, is that I look at people and I look at things that are happening in the world, and I see that nothing is, you know, people say some things that, oh, this is for a fact. Mm. And you realize that nothing is for a fact.
Nothing is for it,
everything
honestly.
Has errors, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, exactly.
Everything. You can have the, you know, this is also not completely right, and that is also not completely wrong. You know, you can have two arguments, and you will say that I'm
because you can always back it with something.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. It's very. I like that point so much. Like nothing is for a fact.
Yeah.
In this world, it's like, but then I guess politicians, like if we want to give a practical example, we'll give like COVID, right?
Mm.
If I think the politicians, I'm not insulting anybody, but if the politicians were like PhD students, right, the message they will give to the people will be, COVID is a disease which we haven't studied yet fully. The vaccination is what could give you protection, but we don't know the extent to the vaccination.
Exactly.
Mm. It is an experimental drug, but we believe that that will help because of all the studies that we have conducted.
Yeah.
It might cause some problems in some people, as all vaccinations do.
There's exactly.
not one vaccination in the world which is 100% works for all human beings.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it will save more lives than hurt more lives.
Yeah.
But they won't say that. They will say, come and get a vaccination. Or you can't go to work.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Exactly. Yeah.
So you learn to talk in a political way, in the yes. sense that you're always stating the facts that yeah. people don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you know that, you know, there's some backstory to everything.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
that
yeah.
error bar always.
Yeah, there's yeah. always an error bar. Like yeah. someone would say that, oh, we need 8 hours of sleep every day. Then I'll ask you that question. Okay, who said so? Yeah. Was it a theory or somebody conducted the research? Okay, so where is the error bar in that? I'm part of that error bar. So consider me as part of the error statement, because not yeah. it wasn't 100% surety, but yeah. the probability,
exactly.
which is an 80%. That means 20% of the total population think that they don't need more than 8 hours. So I might be one of yeah. them.
Exactly.
And some people might need more.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. And so that changes
every
the data.
Individual is different.
It's just a justification of what fits your criteria at that point yeah. in time. Cause
so,
like,
so mm-hmm. like what you were saying is very mm-hmm. important. Like now when I'm even listening to like podcasts, right, I am wary of people who give assurities, like
oh, this motivational speaking.
Exactly.
Yes, this is what mm-hmm. is supposed to be done. Like, no, it's like I'm looking for somebody who has a diversity of thought.
Exactly.
Like tell me you know something and then challenge what you know.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't know what's good.
That's so relatable.
It's so true. Yeah.
Like I told you, it's a superpower. We get it.
It's like, you know how in school you used to debate, right?
Yeah.
And people would say, because just to justify your argument, you will say all these facts and you'll say these are right just yeah. because you want to be either pro or con to one
yeah,
argument.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
That's how you've been programmed.
But when you do, I think when you want to debate as a PhD student, you're always unsure because you're like, okay, this is true. I understand your point also. I yeah. know where you're coming from. You're always mentioned that.
Yeah.
That, but I think that this is right because yeah. this.
It allows room for thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the more journey. Analytical expression of yeah. data and words instead of take it as I am.
Exactly. and that room affords we human species the ability to grow.
Yeah.
Because there's always the ability to grow. We haven't, we never peaked in our society. We still not peaked in our society in every field.
Yeah. You know, this brings the argument where people tend to try and judge you from a PhD point. You think you have a PhD, so you know everything.
Yeah.
Actually,
that thing gets to me because see, and
trigger.
It's a very big argument. Even people who are business, like, oh, you don't need a PhD. You know, people are quick to insult people who have taken up just a one way of life.
Yeah.
People are quick to say, oh, I hear things like, oh, they don't even have money. I hear other things like.
I think it's funny you brought that because, like, We hear that's like, oh, PhD, like there's not really that much money. You come out of PhD with no actual like real life experience kind of thing. Like that's what like people throw out.
People like, you know, people, you know, the things people cannot do easily, they tend to be able to bring you down quite quicker to it. That's life. Anything, if they cannot do it, the first thing they will is the negative thought. This one cries. Not like we are doing a podcast, right? Some people actually really think that this thing, what is it? You're playing. Or something.
I think it comes from a defensive point of view, right?
That's
because
the word.
Not everyone can do a PhD. And now people are seeing that, oh, this person has done PhD. They want to defend themselves that, oh, why couldn't I do it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
It's human nature.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me enter a room very innocently and I try to raise an argument or speak, because she thinks she has a PhD, so she can say. Meanwhile, I've not even addressed myself as such.
For instance, I would just share my, for example, opinion. I'm going through something. No, I'm going through something. I'm going through this stress. I would like to share it with, for example, a friend who is not doing PhD. I would just say that, oh, you don't know how much stress there is. There's this. And they'll be like, oh, you don't know the job struggles. You don't know this.
Exactly.
There's no comparison.
Why are you comparing?
I'm sure you're stressed.
Stress is stress.
Just last 2 weeks at church, someone told me, oh, I was going to stand in front and we acted a play or something. I was like, I have to speak on a topic. And I was going to speak on it. And I panicked a bit. And the person said, oh, but you're doing a PhD. I'm like,
A PhD isn't...
It's not a band-aid fix for
all. It doesn't fix everything. I think PhD students, and I don't know, this thing I'm about to say is not possible, but I really believe that everybody given the chance should do a PhD. Do you know what? Because it really humbles you. It makes you, just the fact you know in your heart of hearts, you don't know and you can't know everything. Exactly. It just brings that level of ego down. Like PhD students are the most helpful students ever.
Exactly. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
If somebody says that I'm conducting a study, can you write the survey for me? PhD students are the first to like do it. Yeah. Because we know like the stress in it. We also know like what the implications of your data can be. Yeah, so we take the pains to do it.
Yeah.
And there's so much knowledge sharing in PhD. It's beautiful. Like we have a WhatsApp group. Somebody says, oh, I'm going through this, blah, blah, blah. Like, can anybody help me? 20 articles are there.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The support is there in the community.
Yeah, immediately. Because we know like what we are doing is knowledge sharing. At the end of the day,
there's no first, there's no second.
There's no second.
We all
you help me, I help you. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Honestly, I think this topic, if anyone listening to the podcast like really should, like it's not that deep. You know, the fact that you see, the more we critique ourselves, like we are saying, the more we think in-depthly, we are forced to think way beyond what your narrow mind would think. We are forced to think that 1 plus 1 is not 2.
It could be 3.
It could be 3.
It could be 3.
I will accept that.
Yeah, we are forced to think so because then someone can set another parameter to say that that particular one has maybe an X factor in them that incorporates another one. So it makes it 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cannot blame us. We are forced to think that way. So when we are airing an opinion, it might not be on the surface opinion. It might be too deep. You can just say 2. But we are forced to say that assuming all factors are equal, it is 2. Yeah, so somebody would think. So someone would think that we are showing off. Or no, yeah, it's not like that. It's
you're showing off for possibilities.
PhD makes you like also narrow the way you speak. Like I've stopped speaking in absolute terms.
Yes.
You stop that because it's like I was saying this, but like I'm going to say like if you work out the simple one, like if you work out and you eat properly, you will live a long life. I can't say that anymore.
Yeah.
I can say if you work out and you eat well, provided given all factors, like she's saying, all factors being equal, you might be able to live long. Because we also don't know whether DNA plays a role.
Exactly.
I have to consider that.
Put the bus in my mind. for analyzing.
We are forced to think that way. Yes. You cannot just say something. My supervisor was like, you cannot just say it like that.
Yeah.
Why is it so? I'm like, because it is so well.
because like my PhD is on storytelling and how it affects consumer behavior, right? Yeah. Like initially when I was reading papers, like the very catchy word is that storytelling is very powerful because like it is innate in human beings. That's a terrible explanation for a PhD study. You can't just say it's innate. What makes it innate? Do you get me? So now somebody asks me why is story powerful. I say, well, you can't, from one perspective, you can't think about it in a structure. So for example, story, the difference between a story and just a statement is, I asked you, why were you late to work? You say, oh, I was late to work because, when I woke up late, and then I drove to work late and I'm late for work. That's not a story, right? Because it really doesn't have any structure. Mm-hmm. But storytelling has a structure. It has it's called three C's: character, conflict, and then change. So if I tell you this thing again, why were you late? Well, last night I went for a party, woke up in the morning. So you had a character. Then the conflict is that when I was coming to work, I almost hit somebody. So I stopped my car immediately. And then the change, the resolution is that, yeah, so eventually I apologized, drove away, and then got to work late. That's the story. You can easily remember that: character, conflict, resolution, or change.
Yes, thought as his PhD as well.
Please, may I have it for hours late? What again do you want to know?
again, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that now I have defined what a story is, following those parameters. Now you know what a story is. So now you know it is not innate. So I don't just say that storytelling is innate. It's innate how?
Yeah.
Do you get me?
But even for as the experimental side or something, you're looking at something, right? And under a microscope, right? That's not enough. I will show you. I'll show you this, for example, the specs under the microscope, and I'll show you a picture of the specs under the microscope, and I'll say that this is a specs. And my supervisor will ask me, how? That's a very big assumption to say that. How can you say that?
I can visually see that. Yeah,
because I can see, no, that's not enough. You have to prove it.
You have to prove it.
Yeah.
So expects, that's when you have to go further to say expects has two hands,
exactly,
and two bulbs, and that formation, you bring another specs and on it that people have experimented and found out that this is expects, so it backs that
example. Exactly.
So at this point, I can't even say that, oh, I like something. Even my likings are not defined.
Yeah.
Who knows, after 2 years, I might not like the same color again.
Exactly. Because
I cannot say anything for sure.
Because like she's saying, and this is where it gets complex. So are you ready to dive into deep water? We're about to swim. So she's saying specs has to have these type of things. That's what makes it expect. Yeah. Then she reads another article and something which is not expect. It's the same as what she's saying as expect. So now what should I actually do with that? Exactly.
Counter-argument.
A counter-argument. Because I told you that a story has to have a character, conflict, and resolution, right? But there are some billboards which don't move, right? They have character, conflict, and resolution. There's a billboard in America. It's a very popular billboard. I wish I could pull it up. But it has tailgating causes accidents, right? So there's a car which crashes into another car. And on the billboard, it's not a moving billboard. You can see it like muddle up, right? And then you see, then at the end it says that, so no more tailgating. Right. So in that, you can say it's a story because it has a character, which is the first car was tailgating and says tailgating is not good. There's a conflict. There's an accident. There's a resolution. So no more tailgating. So that's the story. So is that a story, or what I said about you being late for work is a story? You see? Now you go and do a PhD. That's what it is.
I think this PhD too. It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. Some people, like I always say, find your strength, what you want to do. We are not competing against each other. No. We are all on different pathways. To some, entrepreneurial will be great. They will ace at it. To some, PhD will be great. They will ace at it. To some people, content creation they will ace at it. Stick to your goal and pursue it to the fullest and allow all of us to be. not at the
don't be judging our PhD students.
Exactly. Not at the throat of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, because but we are not judging you.
We are not judging.
Exactly.
We are
on our own journey. There are things that you guys can do and we can't, can't do. I know I can't do so many things that my friends can do.
True.
And that's the diversity. That's the unity.
Everybody brings different strengths. And
exactly.
But having said that, I also think that if I want to, I can do anything.
Oh my God. Exactly. That's a PhD talking
about. PhD teaches.
It teaches you because
with hard work.
With hard work, you can learn every day.
Exactly.
This
is also something that you learn
because
with PhD.
If you're doing a PhD, I don't know whether it's other things. Like you can see a problem, you can just let it go. But the PhD in you will not let that thing go.
You still be thinking about it.
That thing can cause your sleep.
Yeah.
That thing can cause your eating. Yeah. And it can make you go bald and gray.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the gray thing, actually, I'm witnessing it because Gerald, I know Gerald, but the gray hair is, even Anyami, she started with like one gray hair.
I started with one gray hair. And then, look at that.
I didn't even look at her.
Because of all the stress.
Yeah.
Like, you're honest. Always.
And you
thinking,
lose hair.
You lose hair, you go gray, funny enough, you start to forget a lot.
Yes.
You're just...
exactly.
You're just forgetting, like, because
it causes all... relationships, crap.
Yeah, it does.
Like, because... I don't know how to explain it for you, but I think you always... You have to be in it for it to trigger. Any PhD person listening to will just be screaming in their rooms. Like,
It's true.
But if you're not a PhD, you'd be like, okay, it's normal. But if you enter, you play back this podcast and realize that... You are not the only one going through it.
No, you're not.
It's the same problem.
Yeah.
The same feeling. But, you know, we are not trying to, like...
Discourage
you from not doing it. It's a beautiful journey.
It is.
It's a beautiful journey of learning.
You grow,
yeah.
You see opportunities. Somebody told me that the only time you get to passionately talk about something is when you're doing a PhD. After that, nobody will be excited to hear what you're doing now.
Yeah,
when you are done with this journey, nobody's excited to hear plasma functionalization of 2D. What can you do, right? So it's this beautiful journey. It makes you grow in it. You network, you meet people. Like, where would I have met Ezra if she wasn't doing a PhD?
Exactly.
Yeah, it brings you guys together.
Bring like-minded people together.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you struggle together. So you're doing tough times together. That makes real friends.
Yeah. See, one thing that even helps with this teamwork as well is that the higher you go, like I said, you have gone so narrower, you lose sight of the big picture. Now, when the first year comes in, she brings the big picture and it's so beautiful. And you're like, this is why I decided to do this. Now, it ties in. So at the end of the day, we bounce off learning from each other.
Yeah.
I take the bigger picture. She takes the narrower
half of my PhD is talking to her.
No, honestly, you find somebody who is ahead of you and you
talk to them.
You attach yourself to them. Yeah. Because they are going to go through the same process.
Yeah.
The same pains. Like there's a friend of mine, she's called Mary. What's up, Mary? when I came first, she knew a lot. Like she was second year or third year. Yeah. So she was ahead. She was second year actually. So she was ahead. So everything, go to Mary, you know. Like she would explain it, okay, you look at it this way, look at it that way, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you can ask the group, like the PhD group, they are willing to like give out information. So things like that, these type of things.
It's like you live in a cocoon. Yeah. And it's just, you're just seeing the same people every day. Because you're coming, doing PhD every day, the same place, the same thing. And meanwhile, the whole world, like we said, it's just going, you know?
Yeah, because it's like you're in a bubble and like you're so focused on meeting deadlines.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Getting good feedback.
You don't have
making
time.
Sure you're right on track.
Yeah.
Everything is just noise to you.
And also you are setting up with like your career. So you are also looking at life after PhD. Like a lot of people have to do that. So like I'm teaching a bit. I'm also like... looking to go for conferences.
Yeah.
Then you're also working
your career. Yeah,
exactly. You're working in the network so that because the PhD isn't the guarantee for success.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, say that again.
The PhD isn't the guarantee for success.
I love that.
It is just a peer into what you could do with the knowledge you've acquired, but it isn't a sure thing.
It helps you realize your potential.
Exactly.
Then
you do it. Then, so you are... You are doing all these things. You are networking. You are going for conferences. You are speaking at conferences. You are wanting one of your papers to publish. Like, you're doing all these things. Do you get me? That's why, like, it makes you fragile sometimes emotionally. Because, like, the things which shouldn't trigger you then start to trigger you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Wow, this is hitting.
The other day I texted and I said that, Lois, you know, I was all emotional. And she said, what happened? I said, nothing happened. I'm just emotional.
The PhD is giving reactionary moments in your life.
Yeah, I think I'll suggest to you this before even it ends. But you know how when you are doing like a master's or an undergrad, right?
Yeah.
You can have a revelation in the bathroom, like you're taking a shower and the idea sparks into your head. In a PhD setting, you can have three revelations in the bathroom, then get so confused, then you don't want to think about it.
My guy. Anytime I call you, I said I got something in the bathroom. Because that is the most quiet moment in your life.
I don't know. I think there's a PhD study on that.
Please, whoever is in that PhD, I want to know the results.
Is that serious?
It's magical. Honestly, you're bathing, right? And I don't know whether it's the water pouring on you. It's a representation of the embryonic sac from birth. There's just the peace, calm, and serenity with it. And just beautiful flows of ideas.
Hey.
Sometimes you have to stop yourself.
I have to stop.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
And then go and type it somewhere.
While you're in the shower.
And then you have to immediately share that idea with someone, otherwise you'll forget because you have such bad memories.
And so
you'll just be texting. I'm in the bathroom. I've just come up with this idea.
So I don't know whether maybe you've experienced it. Sometimes too, you can write an idea in the heat of the moment and it's so beautiful. You go and look at it tomorrow and it's terrible.
Oh.
It's the worst idea.
Why did I even think about this?
It's like, what am I looking at this? Like, okay. I said this, but it doesn't really do much for
me. It doesn't track at all.
Like, in the moment, you think that solved your whole PhD problem.
Yeah. But it's like, it's beans.
Beans.
It's crazy. Actually, it's been very interesting, but I think, looking at this, I want a part two, if you guys are down for a part two.
Yeah.
Because I think today, like, you put the struggle, like,
see.
But I'm sure there's positives. So I would like to explore the positives of a PhD. No
problem. A lot of positives. Like, I can't even begin to mention it.
Yeah.
Mm. I quite remember a statement someone made that they allow their kids to just go to school because of the friends they want them to make. They want them to, they know that their kid cannot survive in a school setting or something, but just because of the connections they will make along the way. In the setting, they allow their kids to go to school. It's the same with the PhD. When you're starting, you think that there's a lot of stories like this that is sharing because we want the transparency.
Mm.
We want you to be able honest, to see the truth in it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell Ezra that I know whenever she's taking the next step, I know where she's going to.
Exactly.
Because I've been there.
There's some things that she told me when I joined. That
in the beginning, the first day.
And they're happening. Now I'm seeing them unfold. I'm like, Lois, you told me.
Exactly.
You didn't believe it.
No. And when I started, I didn't have anybody to tell me. So it made the journey more difficult.
Yeah.
So this conversation is the transparency in a PhD.
Exactly.
And when you, but there are benefits.
Yeah. I think we'll have to explore benefits. But I think to wrap up today's episode, from each of you, I want to ask you, what advice would you give to somebody who is struggling through their PhD right now? What would you say to them, to that PhD person? It's like, I'm over this. Like, what would you say to them?
Okay, so for me, because there's nothing which is a certainty, and we are doing PhD, and we know, like, nothing is a certainty, means that tomorrow could be better. So you should look to tomorrow being better. It's difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. You are putting your work through fire, and then you are getting pure metal at the end of the day.
Mm.
So you need to pass your work through fire. Like, the fact that you have questions to questions means that there's something there to look into.
Mm.
And you just need to stay the course. Because, again, it's like, PhD isn't the testament of intelligence. It's more of the testament of willpower.
Mm.
So you are taking your time. So you answer a question and another one comes up. Then you answer that question and another one comes up. Then you clear that question and another one comes up. Then it leads you an article. Then it leads you to speaking to a friend. Then it leads you, then you draw back. Then then you go again. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? You take two steps forward, two steps backwards.
Yeah.
You are putting it through that so that you can hold that paper against any other paper in that particular field and it would stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is why you do it. So you should keep at it.
Yeah. Keep at it. Yes. Okay. Lucy?
Yeah, I think you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Okay, you need to know that whatever mm-hmm. that you're going through at that point, 1,001 people all over the world are going through the same thing.
At the same time.
Yeah. At the same time.
Facts or facts.
And we are here to support. The community is here to support. If it is by talking to somebody, go talk to somebody. If it's by developing another passion for something else, like I love passion for theater, things like this, podcasting, go on them, find something else that makes life more meaningful for you, okay? And when the meaning comes in, you find the reason why you started the PhD, because there was that life before you made this decision. Mm-hmm. So a step back. So you are not alone. We are all here together. But at the end, like I was saying, he shared something. And I think I told Ezra yesterday. Yeah. That's what I looked at. I said, iron sharpeneth iron. But before that iron sharpens the other iron, that iron has to go through fire. Mm-hmm. That iron has to go through works. Yeah. I have been a sharpening iron, but that's why I'm drawing it. Okay. Mm. So you should also go through it. Go closer to somebody. Always ask. It's not... Like you said, it's not a test of intelligence. No. It's a test of we contributing to something that is beautiful at the end. And I think
we are all together in it.
Yeah, we are all together in it. So I can pass it on. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would just say that go back, like close your eyes and go back to why you are here. Mm. If you're struggling, remember why you did this, why you actually started this. And if you're like, believe in yourself. And if nothing else works, just go to sleep. And in the morning you'll feel better. And just start doing it again because you're here.
It's perfect because you taking the day off and doing something else might just be the revelation you need.
Exactly. Yeah.
You need to close it off.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Just take a break and then come back and do it.
And do it. Just keep retrying. Just keep going. Yeah. So I think what I was talking about is like. It's not about just thinking you're too smart for it. Like,
just keep
pushing, put in the work. Like,
I don't think
be I'm humble. Right.
Yeah.
Learn from other people and collaborate with people.
Yeah.
And like, I'm learning. I think you are a very supportive community of each other. So just interact with your teammates and try and get the support.
Yeah. I don't think. I think the most humble people are PhD students.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. Yeah. We are a very humble bunch. Yeah. We can't even fake it. We have to be humble.
Because you have to learn.
Yeah. Yes. 90% of our papers are from other people's papers.
Yeah.
And it's peer reviewed. Your other colleague will peer review your work and tell you that, you know, what you've written is. You have to humble and say, okay, what do you think I should do?
Yeah, I've come to even love that process. Now I look forward to it. I want you to tell me my work is there. Because now I'm panicky if you tell me my work is good. Wait, are you
sure? Yeah. I don't believe you. It
takes time to build that confidence when I joined, I was not confident about my work. And I took time to build that confidence. And when I got that confidence, I was confident. Oh, I'm doing this. I did this. This is so right. And then someone came and said that, no, this is not right. And I was like, okay. I was wrong. Now after...
You have to rebuild the confidence again.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. This is such a level. Oh, my God. Nah.
We have to stop at some point.
We have to stop at that point. We can't go on.
We can go on and on.
But I'd like to say a big thank you to Ezra. And
it's my first podcast.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for convincing her to actually join us. Yeah. Did you enjoy it, though?
I loved it.
That's good.
Let's do it again.
As usual, Lizzie. Yeah, you there. You always there.
Always.
G-Man.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah. This guy there, professional hype man.
He's a PhD.
Yeah. But it's been lovely having you guys on today on our episode. Hope you guys listen and enjoy this. We'll sign up now.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Bye.
I'm at a point in life, if you understand me or not, misunderstand me or not, me, I'm okay. And if you think I'm wrong or not, long as it's what I want to be, I'm okay.
like say you be holy pass. I did love my life, get my peace of mind, better try survive. We all be seen as my party, nobody holy pass. And my happiness comes first, I never come left to stress, yeah.
Like say you be.